Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Every Thanksgiving Day for many years, we have talked with financial counselor Connie Kilmark about meaningful gift giving, and we share the most meaningful or memorable gifts that we have ever given or received. And we ask you to join us with that meaningful gift that you remember, or the gift that you gave someone that meant a lot. Chances are this meaningful gift was not necessarily picked up during Black Friday at a doorbuster sale. It might even be that it's not an item at all. It might be that it was a gesture or an experience. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Connie Kilmark is the founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark and Associates, and she joins us in the studio. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. And
same to you. Good morning to everybody.
Now, this is a tradition for those who are listening for the first time that began back when Tom Clark was sitting in this chair many, many years ago. Then Jean Ferracca inherited it, and she proceeded to go on for decades with you. And then when Jean retired, I asked you to join me in the morning. So we have been going on now for at least, 12 or more years now. Let me 12 or more years.
And I want to say it's a compliment to you, because this is the earliest that I'm willing to appear in public anywhere. So the fact, but it's so, for everyone out there, it's so much better to be able to see the face of the host and be in the studio than to do this by telephone, which I have done a few times.
Yeah.
I wish I could see each one of your faces as you share your stories, but your stories are yours, and I can't wait to hear them this year.
Yeah, I can't either. This is always a bit of a tearjerker, a lot of very touching, very emotional stories, because that's where a meaningful gift comes from. It's the heart. It's not, you know, the flat-screen TV at tomorrow's doorbuster sale.
Well, and it's in the imagination. It's in the thoughtfulness. It's the things that can't be bought with money that make a gift a remarkable gift, where you discover that somebody was knowing you and thinking about you in a way that was so deep and intimate that it couldn't have been purchased, and it couldn't have been come up with it, you couldn't come up with it at the very last minute. It meant that you had to have a real relationship over a period of time in order for that gesture to emerge from the deep knowing. And then at just the right time, something that you couldn't have imagined or expected is there, and your life actually deepens.
Yeah. Now, I want to thank you, Connie, for the many years of service, not only just to on Wisconsin Public Radio, but for our listeners. I know our listeners really value all the different times you have been on, and not only talking about meaningful gift giving, but many other topics as well. And I did want to give you a token of my appreciation. It wasn't necessarily the best gift I've ever given, but I wanted to give you a Ideas Network tote bag. This is the tote bag that we were giving away as our pledge drive gift during the last pledge drive, and it's sort of a retro thing, bringing back the tote bag. Yeah, everybody has to have a public radio tote bag, so I wanted to say thank you from public radio for
it. It's very beautiful. Yeah. I like it, and it's printed in blue, which is my favorite color, and a nice natural linen fabric, so thanks.
So what was the best gift you received or gave during this past year? Usually we start with the year in question.
As I gave some thought to what I would bring to the show today, it's right after some of the most terrible acts of carnage that once again have plagued our planet. And I shelter from some of this, and I sustain my belief in humanity largely through my experience of the arts, because I think when I think about it, you know, what lives on after the Napoleonic Wars are Beethoven's symphonies. What lives on for me and helps me to be restored, because otherwise it's so easy to start just feeling a sense of despair, is performing arts and paintings and other ways of being involved in the arts. And I have two particular friends who are very, very generous in sharing experiences in the arts. One, when she has extra tickets, always chooses and enjoys giving them away and enjoying them with friends, often people who would otherwise not likely be able to afford those kinds of experiences. And her generosity in giving experiences to people have allowed me to meet some young artists and some people that I might not otherwise have had an experience of. So when we hear great music or see great paintings, we're seeing things that are the permanent products of the best of the human spirit. And for me, that's a very, very important place of refuge and restoration, especially this year, but all through my life.
Yeah. So healing. What did you see?
Oh, I've seen so many things this year. I mean, opera, yeah. Symphonies, wonderful museums, opportunities just to be, and to visit old friends, paintings that I know really well, some in Chicago, that I know really well for a long time, and yet each time I go, I think, well, you know, and there are some paintings in Belgium that I deeply and passionately care about, so I've actually been thinking not just about the people of Belgium, but the paintings that have been kept since the 14th and 15th century so beautifully by that country.
The gift that I wanted to share during this program, it's hard, it was an experience as well. Mm. It was a trip that I took with three other girlfriends. Mm-hmm. One of the girlfriends, it's weird because it wasn't necessarily my gift. I didn't give this trip to somebody. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to have a birthday trip, and she wanted to go to South Padre Island, Texas. She always wanted to go there. And the reason why this was so meaningful, and why I, even though it was, it did actually cost a little bit of money to take part in this, and mm-hmm. but I wanted to go because she almost died. She came down a year ago with a bout of bacterial meningitis, which is often fatal.
Yes,
and
rapid.
Yeah, it was. I mean, she made it just in time. In fact, all the doctors say she's a miracle. That they're shocked that she's alive, because she actually did suffer for more than 24 hours with this bout. And in any case, she did lose her hearing. She lost her hearing, which is a common side effect if you do survive, because the bacteria goes after your inner ear. And and she did get a cochlear implant, and so she is able to hear. It's not the same, but she's able to hear. And she wanted to celebrate the fact that she was alive on her birthday. And she wanted to get her closest friends to join her in a celebration of life. And so while I may not have given her this gift, it was a gift, I guess, that I received to be able to go on this trip and to take part with her in this. So that was the most meaningful gift.
Oh, it seems like it's a giving and a receiving at the same time. And frankly, it's what money was made for, yeah. for making those kinds of experiences possible.
1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What is the best gift that you were ever given or received? Let's go to Chris in Wisconsin Dells. Hello, Chris.
Hi, it's Chris, the crazy alcoholic pie baker.
Okay.
I'm the only one that gave you two recipes with booze in it. So,
oh, that's right. You emailed your pie recipes, Chris.
Yeah.
They sounded really good.
Anyway, I was working at the Pfister Hotel in the English Room in Milwaukee, and we decided to have a Christmas party, and we put everybody's name in a pot and picked them out, and I got my best friend there's name, and so it was the year that John Lennon had gotten assassinated on December 8th. And in between then and Christmas, when we had the party, or a couple weeks later, the Double Fantasy album came out. And so I bought him the Double Fantasy album for Christmas, and he was just enthralled with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like the perfect thing. And I just got a really great gift. I got a 6-week-old puppy, and a Frito Good Home puppy, and he's terrorizing my house.
Aww.
And yeah, it's the best thing. I was looking for a puppy, so.
So, is he just a little mix puppy, or?
He's half Pomeranian and half mutt, and he looks like a little white snowball, and he's terrorizing me and the cats, and we're learning things. We're learning how to poop outside. We're learning how to not chew on mommy because she doesn't like it. So that's my story.
Thank you very much, Chris.
The year John Lennon died, that happened outside a building that I lived near in New York City.
Oh.
So I felt and saw I grew up there. I felt and saw that experience before I saw any of the pictures of the Dakota, the building in front of which he was shot. And I was grief-stricken as well. So I think it's a great gift. And when you said puppy, I thought you said a gold puppy. And I'm glad it's a live puppy because, you know, if you're crazy enough, if you're a certain age to buy an infant dog, then you deserve every single bit of what you're about to get.
Chris,
there you go.
And just for those of you who are wondering what she's talking about, being the alcoholic pie baker, Chris, we did a show on pies at 6 o'clock this morning, and Chris sent in her favorite pies, or what she was having for Thanksgiving, a Bailey's Irish cream pie. You put the Bailey's Irish cream in the pumpkin, so that was her trick to making a good. You're making kind of a.
It's too early in the morning.
Right, in any case, thank you very much, Chris.
Yes.
Let's go to Karen in Madison next. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Joy. Thank you again for this wonderful show. I call in every year.
Oh, I'm glad you do.
And Connie, one of the most wonderful memories and things I was most thankful for was something you and I went to together.
Oh.
And that was our friend Karen's wedding.
Oh, yes.
And it was I just had the best time ever at that wedding. And it was mainly because I got to get reacquainted with so many people that I never, ever see on a regular basis. And it felt like a privilege to be at that event. But the other thing that I called in about was last January, or even a year ago or more, my sister and I often talked about a destination family vacation in the warmth of something like I'd like to maybe even get off the continental United States. But anyway, my brother decided to collude with her, and the family had a destination vacation in Florida last January 3rd, and it was just a fantastic gesture. And like you said, sometimes when people's generosity, because he had a timeshare in Florida that they were going to look at anyway, but they made every effort in the world to make it accessible for me by renting a van, a wheelchair-accessible van, and getting a condo that I would be able to use. And everything was just beautiful and fully wheelchair-accessible, and they made a strong effort. We got three condo, two large ones, one small one, all together in one place so that the entire family could migrate to Florida. And the interesting thing that happened in the beginning was that we were all stuck here due to a faulty airplane for 2 full days, so 48 hours stuck at the airport waiting. But it was kind of a blessing in disguise of some sort. I was pretty depressed about it, but it really felt joyous to get out of here because it was also 30 below zero.
Oh, yeah, and then it was a real celebration once you took off, I bet.
Yeah. It was great because we got to eat all over Florida and just go to different restaurants, but mainly it was just hanging out. We made a puzzle in the evening, drank lots of great wine, and made food together as a family, which we had to do because we had a full kitchen, so we went grocery shopping together. And
Thank you, Karen.
It's like a temporary living together. And for those, you just shared wheelchair accessible. I just want you to know that you looked so festive and tremendous on the night of Karen's wedding. You were dressed to the nines. So that was a spectacular and glittering, wonderful affair.
Wonderful. But, you know, I was thinking, well, that's lovely that somebody gave Karen a destination vacation as a gift. But it was even more special that they went out of their way to make sure that everything was accessible for her. So.
Well, to some degree, how could you invite someone and then make sure that they, you know, and then not have thought of that. So, Karen, you are, it sounds like you're really loved.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. We'll take more of your calls with the most meaningful gifts, the greatest gift that you have ever given or received. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine along with Connie Kilmark. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Every Thanksgiving Day, Connie Kilmark stops in. Connie is the founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates, and we talk about the most memorable, the most meaningful gifts that we have ever given or received, and we invite your stories, too, about a gift or maybe a gesture that was particularly meaningful or unforgettable to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Amanda in Milwaukee is with us next. Hello, Amanda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have quite the story. So my husband and I struggled with infertility for many years. And at some point, we decided that we wanted to consider fostering children for Milwaukee County because we had explored our other options, and IVF was just not financially possible for us, which I know it's not for many people. And so being a social worker, I suggested that we look into being licensed as foster parents. And when we were just about done with our licensing process 2.5 years ago, we decided to tell family that we were doing this because we didn't want them to be shocked when we came to family events with children.
And yes, that's good.
And then 2 days after we told everybody, we got a call from my husband's aunt who said that her daughter was going to give up her twin infants for adoption if we want them.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
How about that? Did you, then after you picked yourself off the floor, Amanda?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
So my husband and I thought about it, and we thought, why would we possibly say no? And we said yes, of course, and they were in our home 9 days later, so it was quite the transition. But,
wow.
Yeah.
Can you tell us their names?
Their names are Harper and Molly, and they are just the apples of our eyes. And they're actually the finalization of their adoption will be 2 years on December 6th. So,
and that's, they're 2.5 years old now. They're toddlers.
Yes.
They're, oh, my.
Well, what a happy Thanksgiving. Wow.
Well, and if you hadn't thoughtfully prepared your family for the total shock that you might show up with children that they'd never met, you would not have heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
So these are your husband's cousin's kids.
Yes.
And now, of course, they're yours in every sense. So, oh, my.
That's probably the greatest gift I've ever heard about.
Yes, I think you've taken the cake.
Twin darlings. Yeah.
Twin babies.
Yeah, thank you very much, Amanda.
Amanda, thank you.
Wow.
There's nothing
I
can say to that.
Top that. Rana in Rice Lake, can you top that? No, I'm teasing. Rana, what's the best gift you were ever given or received?
I don't have anything quite like that to share with. I was married my first time and then divorced and went through a period of, excuse me, not having a lot of money and, you know, kind of solely raising two kids. And then I met somebody, and he's like G.I. Joe in the Army for 30 years and thinks he's Mr. Macho Man, even to this day. And but very frugal, was raised very frugally with 11 brothers and sisters.
Mm.
And our first Christmas together, he had purchased a couple things for the kids, and they were under the tree. And I like to buy gifts, and I know it makes me think about the person, and I try to keep them, the gifts, meaningful. And so there was no gift under the tree for me, and it sounds so selfish when I think about it, but it was hurtful at the time. My heart was in my, and I was crying, and oh, I had to just get out of the room for the minute, so I went upstairs to my bedroom. And in the house that we lived, that I own, we had no doors on any of our closets. We just couldn't afford them yet. And in my bedroom were two used sliding doors for my closet that had been refinished and everything. And I thought, that cheap, blah, blah, blah. Why does he think I want used sliding doors for Christmas? And I had a hard spot in my heart about that for a long time. Eventually we got married. And I think about those sliding doors almost every other day, and how much my husband has come to mean to me, and how much the time and the effort he put into making something really out of nothing that helped me, I guess, you know, kind of complete the house and not feel like I couldn't go on, that I just had to think about things a little bit differently. And we've been married for 14 years, and he's supposed to be sitting in the chair listening to me right now, but instead he's downstairs vacuuming before our company comes. Oh, so,
now I'm getting weepy over that, because it was not only did he give you that wonderful handmade gift, he also gave you the gift of the appreciation of it.
Yes. Yep. I love him dearly, and I wish he was listening, not vacuuming, but I'll take the vacuuming.
You know, I think sometimes we give the gift that we want to receive as opposed to the gift that might be the most meaningful to the other person. So I think in the early part of a relationship, when we don't know each other really well, we don't have enough basis yet for giving gifts that are, you know, the kind of gift that says, oh, he knows me so well. And yet, you're probably still using those sliding doors if you're still in that house. And so it sounds like, you know, in good times and bad, somebody with the kind of habits you describe can probably find a way to live well in the midst of plenty or nothing. And that is, in fact, a really good investment that you made in a good person.
Yeah,
so, happy meal.
So
yeah, Rana, do you mind sharing your husband's name?
Oh, it's Doug.
Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Doug. Way to go. He can listen online later. This will be, you know, recorded and archived.
Yeah.
I will do that.
There you
Thank
go.
You, girl.
But don't tell him. Don't.
I won't.
Yeah, good. Wonderful.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Way to go, Doug. I'm Joy Cardine with Connie Kilmark, and this is our annual Thanksgiving Day program on meaningful gift giving. And we ask you to share with us the most meaningful gift that you have ever given or received. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
And it could be guys, too,
Yeah, that's right. Let's see if there's any... Oh, you know what? We have... there's a guy in waiting, but first, Lori in Hales Corners. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I got a knock on my door. We live at a senior living facility in Hales Corners, and I got a knock on my door yesterday morning, a knock, an insistent one, and I answered the door, and here was somebody that wanted to give me a turkey hat that she had crocheted.
And what did you say then, Lori?
Gobble, gobble. No, I said, well, I'm sort of known as a cavorter over here, and they wanted me to say that I would wear that the whole turkey season, I mean, this whole Thanksgiving season, and just kind of make fun for everybody. And so I went down to the wee bowling and cavorted down there, and I took with me my box of fair trade chocolates. And although I paid $60 for them, they were gone in a snap, you know. It was just delightful and surprising and thoughtful and, geez, you know, wonderful.
Well, let me make a suggestion. When and if the time comes that you need to bequeath that to anyone, why don't you send it to Wisconsin Public Radio? Because there's going to be somebody sitting here live every Thanksgiving morning, whether me or someone else. And we would love to have a hat on hand that we would pull out, and that will be on whatever social media is available and alive at the time.
What a great idea.
I think that hat needs to be the Thanksgiving hat for every guest on Thanksgiving morning. And for Joy. Oh, if she's
but,
the
but
only
it
one.
Probably, Lori, is a hat that now is kind of special to you too, I bet, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I can talk to her. Maybe she can come up with one.
Oh, great.
Oh, what a
that
good
would
idea.
Be fabulous.
And
that'll turn
I
her
address
into
it
a...
to Joy Cardine.
I would love
to...
that. If your friend is able to make a new turkey hat or crochet a new turkey hat, I'll be sure to share it with guests on Thanksgiving, and we'll have a picture certainly of Connie with it on next time I see Connie.
So you have to do the turkey dance wearing it.
Oh, did I just break an ethical rule? Did I just solicit a gift from Melissa?
I think it's okay. If it's not a flat screen TV, it's okay. It's as long as it's under $25. That's right.
There you go.
And okay. it only if she wants to, Lori. And
yeah, that'd be a kick.
You know what I like, though, is that not only was this a fun little thing for you, you gave a great gift by cavorting with that on and bringing smiles to everybody else's face with your fair trade chocolate, don't you think?
I hope. Oh, yes. I think so.
That was a gift that gave many times, Connie.
Thanks, Lori.
Yeah. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go next to Victoria in Waukesha. Hi, Victoria.
Hi.
Hey there. Hi.
I just wanted to reach out because I'm a newly single person, and I have my house by myself, and it's really ugly colors. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, and her boyfriend offered to repaint my bedroom. The bedroom is this awful dark green and pink, which was popular about 20 years ago. And my daughter said, Mom, I'll take care of that. I'll do that for you. And I've got everything set up for her. She's going to start this weekend, not today, so it's not technically Thanksgiving. But she's going to start tomorrow and repaint my room. And to me, it's not a present per se.
I'm sure yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is because it's time that she's giving with her boyfriend to help me out, and I know it's going to be absolutely beautiful when she gets done. Tears to my eyes.
It'll be a mood boost every single day. Color has a tremendous effect on mood. So.
It does, and this thing is my bedroom is so dark right now, and she and I have picked out a color that it's just. I guess you could classify it as beige, but I don't know anything about colors. She does. She's a designer, like an interior designer. Mm-hmm. And she's picked this out and said, Mom, this is a good color for you. It's a warm beige. I don't know what they're called. But she's picked this out for me. She's picked out the trim. I'm so excited. Everything's out of the bedroom right now. My bedroom is like totally empty. And she and her boyfriend are going to come tomorrow and paint that for me.
A room in waiting.
It sounds great.
It means so much to me that she would give up of her time to help me out with her labor.
And Victoria, to cover dark green with beige, she's going to need to do two coats absolutely for sure. So you are really getting a gift of time.
I am. She's got some, whatever they call it, primer coat.
Sure.
And then she's got the other coat. I am not a painter. I have no clue. But she's got it all ready to go. I've got whatever I bought for her to take care of the room tomorrow. And like I said, it's not as spectacular as some of the other calls that you've taken, but to me, it's big.
I love it. And I don't mean to make people think that their gift isn't as great as another. It's great to you, and that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful
and it'll
gift.
Give you a jump start on changing the colors that you hate because you see them every day. So it's a great way. And paint is relatively inexpensive compared to the other things that you could do to decorate. So I'm all for changing colors so that you feel the warmth and the personal touch of your own colors.
Yeah. Well, because... Connie, you were asking to hear from a man during this hour. So far, we've heard
or men, you know.
Yeah, or men, yes.
Right.
We'll go to Eugene in Viola. He is waiting.
Yes.
Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I feel like I know you, Eugene. I listen to public radio, and I know you.
Okay. About 30 years ago, I was teaching on an Indian reservation in South Dakota, and I'd like to let the school and the name of the girl go and be anonymous.
Okay.
But anyways, I wound up with 7th and 8th grade, a small outlying school out of the main district, teaching 7th and 8th grade. And I had one girl there that was fairly bright, and the other girl started picking on her and wouldn't leave her alone. Well, I kept the other girls away from her, made life a little bit unhappy for them. Eventually, they came around, and I encouraged her for the year. Well, last spring, they were doing away with the 7th and 8th grade, and they were going to send it into the main district. So they were only going to have 1 through 6 out there, so I was out of job. But they were doing a Native American giveaway that spring. Well, I attended it. And what she had done, unbeknown to me, she had her mother make me a star quilt and gave it to me at that Native American giveaway.
Oh.
Now, bring it up to the present. I kept in touch with her for 3 or 4 years, see how she was doing after I left. But last spring, I decided to look her up. I had got the star quilt out. I thought I'd look her up. And I did. They had buried her about 3 or 4 weeks before that. Grossest of the liver.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but you meant a lot to her, Eugene, and her daughter, and it's wonderful that you have that star quilt to this day, I assume?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you were a champion to her at the time, and there may have been others. So I'm thankful for the kindness, because bright kids are often thought of as weird and picked on, and it's sometimes really hard. You say a word that's sort of a complicated word, and people call you stuck up or conceited, and you get picked on simply because you've done a lot of reading. So I know what that meant to her. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the story.
Yeah, thank you, Eugene. Eugene he makes a point of saying it's not him who's giving us this gift, but he volunteers at an apple orchard in his area, and every pledge drive in the fall, he will drive baskets of apples over to Wisconsin Public Radio to give to the staff here. So,
hope you don't crunch into those apples while you're on the air, because those would be a really interesting sound to hear through a microphone.
Well, you know what? I think I'll try that next time.
Yeah, thanks, Eugene.
Thanks, Eugene. We are talking about the greatest gifts that we have ever given or received, the most memorable or meaningful. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Perhaps it was a thing. Perhaps it was a gesture or an experience. Maybe it was a combination of both. So what made the gift that you're thinking about so special? Let us know. This is our traditional Thanksgiving Day program with Connie Kilmark. Connie is the founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark and Associates, and we have been talking about meaningful gift giving on Thanksgiving Day for decades now, and we always get great stories from you. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network. Happy Thanksgiving from the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with financial counselor Connie Kilmark, and we are talking about meaningful gift giving. What is the most meaningful gift that you have ever given or received? 1-800-642-1234. Mary in Pewaukee is with us next. Hello, Mary.
Happy Thanksgiving, Joy, and I am joyful and happy to be on NPR and really a big listener.
Thank you.
The thing I have done is our anniversary. We just celebrated our 27 years together, and I wrote him, well, it's about 4 paragraphs, but I'll just start out and loving you. This is the easiest thing I've ever had to write. I have to write it because of my love for you, Rudy. You were my life raft. I am afloat because of you. You became my friend, my lover, mentor, and my life partner. Our lives complement each other's. When I see you, I am joyful. Your honesty and humor drew me to you. And then it goes on. I don't want to obviously read the whole thing, but actually I just poured my heart out, and like
yes,
I said,
you did.
It took me 5 minutes to do this. And we don't always trade gifts, especially for anniversaries.
Uh-huh.
But the words, I think, to me, and I think if I got a love letter from him, I would just,
Yeah. Is this an example of giving a gift that you want to receive?
Yes, exactly.
There you go. You're giving an example. Now make sure that that gets kept, because if there are people down the line who want to look back with a photograph along with it, that would be a really wonderful thing to leave as a partly as a legacy of what your life meant.
Exactly. I will put it in my mother's hope chest.
Perfect.
That we retained after passed away.
Perfect.
Mary, thank you so much. And I think that's a wonderful gift, a really meaningful gift, to write a poem to somebody, write a love letter. You know, it's much better than a Facebook post, I think.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
Wow. Thank you very much. And you know what was also a gift, Connie, was Mary just being happy and saying, I'm so happy to be on the show. And
that was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one else could have written that letter to her husband. You know, that's the kind of thing that is so unique and so personal that, you know, either you get one or you don't, but nobody else could have duplicated it.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, Mary. Nancy in Grafton is with us. Hello, Nancy.
Well, good morning, and blessed Thanksgiving.
You too, Nancy.
It will be 15 years on December 10th that our son Leo, our 14th child, went through the ice in the snowmobile in the river here in Grafton. And a few days later, it was a Saturday, and Ann Hollerith, who also had gone through tragedy, came over to our house, and she brought me a necklace. It was a mother and child necklace. I have worn that every day, 24 hours a day, ever since. And oftentimes people say, oh, that's a beautiful necklace that you have. And then I tell them. And right above it, there's a little bead, a little blue bead. And his brothers and sisters also have a little blue bead that Leo had from when he was fishing in Alaska. Aww. He had this necklace thing, and it had all these little blue beads. So anytime you see Nancy walking around with a little blue bead and a little mother and child necklace, you can think about Leo, too, because he was just a well-loved young man who was so, everybody in town knew him.
Yeah.
And in Alaska, too, there a lot of people knew him. So.
It's a beautiful way to remember him, because it's so specific, and all the other siblings have a similar token. So,
yeah, he was number 13, and we had one more little girl after that. So anyway, it's a big family, and there was a lot of support in the community. Oh, my goodness. This community was just so supportive, and you know, people remember.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry for your loss, Nancy. But
I'll catch him again, and he's going to get bawled out when I see him. What the heck did you
do? Oh. Well, and the fact that you're saying this on public radio is a good warning to folks and a reminder to folks to be safe when they're snowmobiling and to really think about not going out too soon.
Yeah.
Let that ice thicken up.
Right.
Boy, and
well,
I feel that love, Nancy, and I think that is a wonderful, what a meaningful gift you received from your friend. Thank you for sharing that. Next we go to Nick in Minneapolis. Hello, Nick.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Nick.
My story starts back when I was 13. I was doing chores as kids do. I was cleaning out the cupboards and rearranging, you know, some of the pots, pans, and platters. And in doing so, one of the platters that Mom had used for Easter had tipped over, and it fell right on its face and shattered, broke right in half, and some of the little edges came off. And I thought it was just a platter until she was in tears.
Oh.
That platter, it turns out, had been her mother's and her grandmother's. And it wasn't anything expensive, but it was just kind of an heirloom that had been passed down for the bunny cake that was served every Easter. And so at that time, well, then I'm heartbroken because I had no idea it meant that much. So unbeknownst to my mother, I pick up the pieces and wrapped it up in a shirt like I was going to toss it out. And I stuffed it away in my closet and never got around to getting to it. With the notion that maybe I was going to fix this. And so some 13 years later, I was in Minneapolis, and I'm like, you know, I've got that platter still wrapped up. I bet I can find somebody that works with glass in the cities. And so I took it to somebody, and he said, well, yeah, sure, I can I had all the pieces. He says, I can basically put a glue on it, or an epoxy that's food safe. And he glued it back together and smoothed out some of the rough edges. And the only way you can tell it's broken is you can still see the crack where it broke in half. It won't be the same, but it's fixed and you can serve cake on it. And I gave it back to her for Christmas the following year.
I can't imagine what her face must have looked like when you did.
Yeah, she was in tears. She was speechless.
You know, I'll tell you something interesting. In Japan, there's a tradition of actually mending broken pots, broken ceramic pots, and decorating the seams of glue with gold powder and making a precious thing out of what was once broken. This is part of an aesthetic that in Japan that prizes things that have been through experiences. So while I would not have wished what happened to that platter to have happened, the fact is now it has even more history. It has the extra chapter of history from grandmother to mother to your mother to her child to crash bang to mended and returned.
Oh, I think that's
so
great.
I think it now has an even deeper meaning. So I think that you did really well, Nick.
Yeah, way to go, Nick. Yeah. You made up for that one, that's for sure. And was the bunny cake served on it the following Easter?
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Way to go. Thank you for sharing that.
A plus.
Yep. Connie in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Connie.
Hey there.
Hi there. My story is kind of similar. My grandmother and grandfather had a picture of Daniel in the lion's den on their wall. And when I was a little girl, I loved that picture. I don't know. It just spoke to me. And when they passed away, I didn't get it, even though I really wanted it. And my sister knew how much I wanted it, and she went to a flea market once and found the picture. And she bought it, and unbeknownst, there was another picture that was just the same theme, but just a little different.
Yeah.
Anyway, she bought those for me, and that was just unbelievable that she found those for me because she knew that I really liked it. And so now every time I look at it, I think of her and I think of my grandparents. It was the most unbelievable gift she could have ever given me.
But how thoughtful. She remembered. You must have spoken specifically about it, especially
after.
I must have.
I'm sure that was the truth. But, it wasn't right away that she found it. It was several years later. And to know that she thought that much to buy it for me.
She remembered.
Absolutely.
And she knew it was the just right thing. So let me tell you that she enjoyed that gift before she gave it to you because she knew what the effect was going to be.
Yeah. So it's very meaningful to me.
Bravo, sister.
Yeah, way to go to your sister. Thank you very much, Connie, for sharing that story. I think about Connie, about meaningful gift giving around this time of year, and we don't do a lot of gifts in my family anymore. I think I've told you that.
Yes.
And it is just more of a experiences or something along those lines. But what advice do you have for people, as we're hearing about the doorbuster sales and everything else?
Yeah. Makes me so sad to think that there are stores open today. It just makes me sad. So I'm with the consumers that are saying, it's great for stores to stay closed and just give us a breather. Let us have the Thanksgiving holiday without the mania. I would say, for heaven's sake, sit down and think about the people that you're trying to gift and try to write some things down that are true about these people. When my kids were very young, they used to have an allowance that was split into three ways, part for them now, part for them later, which was a savings goal, and part for sharing. And when it came time to do a birthday present for a friend, we would sit down and they would have to write a few things about what they knew that kid liked to do, what kinds of sort of action figures or what sort of craft projects they knew that child enjoyed doing. And then they went to the store with me and they found something that would be right and they bought it with their own money. I think that deepens the sense of gift giving when you take a moment to think about the person and not just buy at the last minute the kind of generic gift that is fine and useful but could have been given to just anybody. And I think that's been illustrated in spades this morning with these stories that really couldn't have been given to anyone else and couldn't have been given by anyone else.
Diane in Madison is with us now. Hi, Diane, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. My two favorite gifts that I've received were from my dad, my mother. One year he made us an ice rink in the backyard of our house.
Say that again.
An ice rink in the backyard of the house.
Rink. Yeah.
Yeah. He, you know, built a wood frame and then filled it up with water. And we waited, for the weather to come in and turn cold and freeze. And he was a fabulous ice skater, and we spent that whole winter skating in the backyard.
So a skill, a shared skill in the family.
Yeah.
And fun for free.
Yeah, and Diane, it's really hard to hear you, your phone. I'm not sure if you're speaking on some kind
I'm
of
sorry.
Different device.
Is that better?
That's much better. So, yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay.
And you had another gift that you wanted to mention?
Yes, and then I think the next year or something, he made us a puppet stage. So it had lights, and it had, you know, it was a three-part thing, and we had puppets, and, of course, the Sound of Music, I think, was in that year, and so we, you know, did all these little shows with our puppets in our puppet stage. So it was just, you know, very... They were wonderful gifts.
I think it's a gift of experience and entertainment.
And creativity.
Yeah, yeah. That was great.
What
great gifts. I hope that you can replicate some of those gifts with your children. Running short of time, and we have a few more to get in here. Mary Ellen emails, "It happened the year I told my family not to get me anything. They usually don't listen, and they got me something anyway. How many sweaters can a person have? One year, all the gifts were open, but I had nothing. I was hurt, and I was mad at myself for being such a martyr, mad at them for doing what I had said. Then my husband found one last gift from behind the tree. To me, it was a share in the Green Bay Packers. I cried. It meant so much to me, a diehard fan, to own a piece of a team that I grew up watching every Sunday with my dad and with my uncles. I'm preparing my mashed potatoes, and I'm wearing my Bart Starr jersey."
There you go.
That is so sweet. Yeah, didn't you and you Connie, that reminds me, you and your daughter shared a Packer experience,
no,
didn't you?
No, we don't share it. We each have our own share. It's fine for her because she is a tremendous fan, the friend that gave it to her. But when I unwrapped mine, I mean, I'm a ballet fan. So he said, "It'll help in your waiting room. Clients will feel very welcome if you put this Green Bay Packer share up on the wall of your waiting room in your practice. It'll show that you are a counselor to all kinds of people." And he was right, of course. But it was a very unexpected present.
Well, do you have just a minute to go? Not time for another call. A Thanksgiving Day message you want to leave us with?
I think health and friends, I think, are the things that deepen and deepen as we get older. And wisdom, if we're lucky, comes with aging as well. So I think for those of you that are still quite young, there's time. And for those like your friend Joy, who almost wasn't with us, the idea that the days of her life now are all extra, they're all bonus days, I think you know that in a way that you can't necessarily appreciate when we're really young. So I think gift of life and health and friends.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for being with us, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Connie Kilmark, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Bill Martins for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.